Love Talk Radio.
The following is intended only for mature audience.
Perfect, because they were looking
looking for the half black girl, and that was me.
There you go.
Think about it, because she is like half Mexican and half Caucasian. I'm half black and half Mexican. You're half Caucasian and half Asian. Duh.
You couldn't be a complete. You couldn't be a complete race, you know.
They got in trouble, you know, because, the Yellow Ranger used to be Asian. So they got in trouble, and the Black Ranger was black, so they had to do something else.
That's right.
They just switched.
Right.
It's bullshit.
Right. Well,
damn you, Saban.
That's not why we all love the show. It never made sense. We loved it because it was just so cute and cuddly.
Yeah, okay. So wait, Johnny, you said you had the same experience as Karen, but how did you find out about the audition, and did you know what the show was? Because she had no clue.
I was familiar with the show. I was studying Shaolin Kung Fu in Texas, and my instructor looked at the paper, and he saw this article, and he called me over and showed it to me, and it was an article that said they're looking for new rangers. And I had seen, like, a little bit of the show just in passing. I didn't know much about it, but I knew that it was a TV show for kids, and they were doing martial arts. And occasionally I would catch it and see it and go and think to myself that I could do that stuff. But I wasn't, like, into the show. Like, I wasn't familiar with all the characters or anything, but I knew of the show.
Right.
So, yeah. I just went to an audition, and, you know, that was my first audition. I hadn't done anything other than that, actually, before then. I was working at Subway, so.
Were you really? I never knew that. That's funny.
I was a sandwich artist. That's what I talked about, and then Subway and the Power Rangers.
Oh, Joe's going to be so mad. Him and Joe could have bonded over Subway at Morphicon.
Exactly. Damn it. Oh, next 2 years, we can make that happen.
Too bad.
So, obviously, your life has been a whirlwind since. How do you feel? Like, I know what the show has brought to my life and how it kind of has done certain things, good and bad, for my career. Mostly good. What do you feel like? How do you feel this show? How did it help you as far as your career now?
The way I look at it is like, it was great when I was on the show, and right after the show, like when we were done, you know, it was really hard to get a job for me, you know. First off, at the time, there were really no roles for like a half Asian, you know, and all I did was on camera, obviously, from Power Rangers. And so, I struggled. I couldn't get an Asian role because I wasn't, you know, Asian enough, you know. And so it was just so hard for me. And I just kind of, I had a couple years of just this terrible time trying to figure out what I was going to do with my life, you know. But at the time, on the show, when things were going, it was great. I had a wonderful time. And then it wasn't until, you know, I started getting into voiceover and then turning towards music that, you know, I found another path for me, you know.
Wow.
And so,
okay, so how
but when
into
I look
voiceover,
back, it's retro,
like,
now.
Right. Like, it's like such a different lane, like getting into voiceover. How did you do that?
No, it was, you know, it was just kind of a weird fluke. Like, I did, you know, Koichi, I worked they were doing like this independent film, and they had me play the lead in it, and it was just, you know, all action stuff. But they were Japanese guys, and the camera they were using was Japanese. The sound guys weren't, and so they didn't exactly get the audio out correctly. And so I had to go back and redub, I had to dub the entire movie. And when I was doing that, the producer, he heard my voice, and he asked me to come in and audition for this anime show, and I got the part on Trigun from there, and it just rolled into that. So basically, if those sound guys didn't, like, screw up the audio, then I would never be doing any of the voiceover that I'm doing.
Wow, that's fake.
Yeah, like
that
everything, my entire life is it's just accident after another. It's like one after another, I stumble into something great. It's like
that's true, though.
I don't purposely go, this is what I'm going to do. I just, I have no choice, you know, and I just get into it by accident.
I know, and you know what, that's funny that you say it that way, because I remember us hanging out, and I remember you going, I think I'm going to teach myself how to play the guitar. And then the next thing I know, you're, like, in a band. I'm like, what the fuck?
Wait. You're telling me you just taught yourself one day and then got in a band.
Kind of.
Tell the story.
Well, I mean, it's a long story, but no, I mean,
we got time.
We got an hour. But anyway, like a friend of mine, like after I moved to Power, like doing to Texas, California, you know, it was a big move, and I was on my own. Aside from knowing Karen, who was like across the apartment street, which was great, by the way, because there was a time where I didn't eat for 3 days, and she had food I could like go and eat at her place. But anyways,
I was like, why did you eat for 3 days? Like he'd be eating at work, and then I was like.
Because we didn't get paid forever,
right.
You know?
Right.
And, I was starving. So, anyways, okay.
Like, shit,
let me
tell you.
But a friend of mine played the guitar. I left for Power Rangers, and I came back after a year to visit, and he was, like, amazing on the guitar. And I was like, oh, cool, the guitar, you know, I want to learn. And so I bought a guitar, and I kept thinking that I was going to learn it, you know, and I never really got totally into it. Until, like, after, like, Power Rangers, you know, and I had nothing. I literally had nothing. Like, everything was gone. And all I had was this busted cot and two trash bags and a guitar. And I was, like, living from home to home with friends, you know. And my acting career was basically gone. It was, like, nothing. I spent a couple of years just trying to get into it, but there's nothing for me. And I had this guitar, and it was like, okay, well, I guess this is what I'm going to be doing because I have nothing else. I better do something with it. And so I taught myself to play the guitar. And then, I guess the long
and now you make
story,
a living.
I formed the band. Yeah, exactly.
And that, but that's the, you know, and I want people to know this because they think, like, we were on this show and they think you guys are superheroes. And they don't realize, like, he's right. Like, we got on the show and they moved us out there and they kind of gave us, like, a little lump sum of money to kind of move out there. And then they didn't pay us for, like, ever, like, a month. And so we had to make this money, like, stretch and eat. Like, we're, like, straight out of, like, school. Like, we didn't know what to do. And
how is that even legal?
It wasn't.
It probably wasn't.
I know it wasn't. Like, it's so bad. And then, like, hearing Johnny, you know, after you get off the show, you go through stretches where you literally have nothing. Like, we didn't leave with $1 million in our pocket. You know, Taban had $1 million in his pocket.
it was crazy time.
Yeah,
I hope
yeah.
One of you at least wrote a strongly worded letter.
Okay, yeah, we'll get on that.
Don't worry, I got this. I'll call him up tomorrow. I'll let him know.
I know.
I'll post on his Facebook.
John, why do people suggest him to me as a friend? I don't want to be friends with him.
I know. I get that too, and I'm like, are you serious?
I know. I hate to break it to you guys. The show was great. The fans are great. The owners, not so much.
Okay. So we know Johnny and Karen that you guys did not get paid on the show. But Johnny, you did something Karen didn't, and you did go back, right? And you like almost died or something because you were trying to morph, or I can't really remember. But did they pay you when you went back the second time at least?
Oh, when I went back to do, like, the space thing or whatever, space episode, yeah, I got paid. But I went back for space, and I went back for the 15th anniversary that was done in New Zealand. And, you know, they paid me okay. It wasn't, it was a little better than when I was on the show, but it was still kind of the same thing, you know. But I did have a good time. I mean, the reason I went back is because I did ask fans if they wanted to see me there. And most of them said yes, and my friend Koichi was shooting some stuff,
right.
And I just wanted to be a part of it, you know?
That's beautiful.
Well, you were the only one really left out of Karen and Steve. They left the show, and you were kind of like the last one standing. Did you feel abandoned? I mean, they sent poor Aisha over to Africa, and Steve broke his back.
The Stone Canyon kids bolted.
Wait, they sent you to Africa?
They didn't
even know.
Africa. You didn't know that? No. Okay, let me tell you.
I didn't realize.
No,
I knew. I knew. I knew, like, Nakia's character came from Africa. I didn't know they sent you to Africa.
No, they did.
Did they send Steve
to
Mexico?
Oh. Probably. But, you know, we had a meeting, and they promised me 10 episodes, and then the next time I went to set, that was my last day. And I was going to Africa. It was pretty brutal. But on a brighter note, like, I want people to know, like, you've done major work in voiceover, and I know you've named some things, so let them know if they don't know, because I want people to know, like, all the amazing things that you've done, because you're like you turn your life around, you know? Like, you're a successful voiceover, you know?
I've been pretty fortunate, you know? Well, Trigun was the first anime voiceover I did, and I played Vash, and I did Kaneda and Akira, Kiba and Wolf's Rain, Ichigo and Bleach, Revolution Code Geass. You know, I can name a ton of things, but if people aren't familiar with anime, then they're not going to really know those.
Right.
I did,
sounds
you know,
important.
I did do some games like I did Yang in Street Fighter 4. Zero in Marvel vs. Capcom, Nero in Devil May Cry 4, Bumblebee in Transformers War for Cybertron. So I've done a number of things here and there, and obviously they can, you know, look it up online.
Did you
I've been pretty fortunate. What was that?
Did you do any Pokemon?
I didn't do Pokemon.
How about Sailor Moon?
Oh, God.
That's done in New York.
Daisy, you have been so quiet over there, and I know Daisy had, like, a long list of questions she emailed me earlier.
You're drooling.
Girlfriend.
You know what? I was more heading towards the music. I mean, I know that I had actually read that you did teach yourself how to play the guitar, and that's really hard to do. It's not easy, and be successful at it. So you've gone out there, and you broke into the music industry. I mean, weren't you intimidated going in?
You know what? It was, like I said, it was one of those things where I had nothing else, you know? So out of necessity, I taught myself to play. Like, I felt like if I don't succeed at this, I'm not going to be able to do anything. I had nothing, like, on the horizon for me, you know? And so I felt like if I didn't give everything I had and just really focus on this and really make something of it, that I was just going to, you know, I had no idea what I was going to do. I was going to be homeless or something, you know? I kind of just had to make myself learn, and not that it instantly changed my life and I was a brilliant musician, but my focus changed totally. And then luckily I slipped into voiceover by chance, and that really kind of like helped me out financially and got me back on the path of, you know, at least being an actor again. And then meanwhile, I was like, you know what, this music thing is really my passion. It's more something that I'm creating, you know, like working on the voiceover thing or working on a film or show or whatever, you know, it's great, but it's not my project usually, you know. And so the music is really just anything from my own heart. So I obviously have more passion for it, you know.
Wow.
And it's more rewarding for me. It's like if I go to a show and somebody's telling me, oh, I love the character that you did in Bleach or whatever, I loved it, and I'm like, oh, that's great, and I am honored that they like it, but there's other creators that created the show. You know, when somebody, I'm at a show and somebody's singing my songs, then that really hits me right in the heart, because then I'm like, you know, I really made a connection with that person. Whereas the voiceover thing, it kind of is partially my thing, but a lot of it has to do with those guys that are making it wherever they are, you know?
Right.
Absolutely. No, and in your that passion, you can tell from your music and from iShine, you bring that in, and your current record, it's a little bit heavier than the past one. Is that something that you kind of just poured into, you know, what made you have that heavier sound?
There's a number of things, you know, and if you listen to, like, our very first album all the way to our latest album, it's kind of a little bit to do with just kind of finding our own voice, but part of it is, like, you know, we did the album Tone of Echoes, and it was a really good album for us, and but a lot of people said that it was mellow or something, it was too mellow, and so, you know, I was like, okay, fine, I'll make something a little harder, and I'll scream a little bit, you know? And I also wanted to have something, like, in L.A., there's there's so many bands that, I mean, all they do is scream, you know, first chorus, pre chorus, bridge. It's all just screaming, you know, and you can't, you really don't understand half of it, you know. And so I wanted to be able to play a show with people like that, you know, and have at least an edgier sound, but as well, like, have melodies as well, you know what I mean?
Right.
So I just wanted
right.
to be able to cross that, I guess, boundary of genres, you know. I don't want to be stuck in just this one kind of, oh, you guys are pop punk. You know, I want to be able to cross that bridge at least.
Right. So you know what? The guys are all on, and we won't keep the audience waiting, but let me introduce the fellows of iShine. Guys, introduce yourself and tell everyone, you know, what role you play in the band. For those who don't know, everyone knows, but for those who don't know, please introduce yourself. iShine.
What's up?
What's up? Who's that?
This is Maurice. What's up, Karen?
Maurice is like my honey buddy. I love me some Maurice.
I'm Maurice. I play drums and try
awesome.
To sing sometimes.
Who else is there?
Olo.
Hi.
No.
And what do you play?
Yeah, this is Olo.
What do you play, Olo?
he's the quiet one. Okay, who else is there? Is Jenny there?
I don't think Jenny's on, actually, is she?
Okay.
No.
We got
no.
three of the four. We got three of the four.
That's
so
right.
This is the thing. I have seen you guys. Well, I knew when you and Maurice became friends, and you told me you were, you know, thinking of doing a band, and I've kind of seen it grow. And I mean, I have to really admit, you guys are amazing. Like, I've never met anyone who said they're going to teach themselves how to play a guitar. The next thing you know, they're playing. And then the next thing you know, they have a band. And then they're, like, putting out an album. Like, it blew me away to see this kind of just manifest. But the group itself has kind of changed throughout the years. Like, we recently had, you know, we used to have another co-host, and we kind of had a little divorce recently. And I noticed that you guys have changed the face of iShine. How has that affected the group? And do you want to even talk about that kind of situation?
Yeah, I mean, we could talk about that. It's
okay.
You know, I mean, it's really just all a part of, you know, being in an unsigned band, being in any band, really. You know, it's like you struggle just to make ends meet, you know, as financially there's obviously not going to be money there a lot of the times in an unsigned band.
Right.
Because you don't have the support of a label or anything like that. That kind of gets you out there. And so, you know, the guys have come and gone, you know. They've stuck around. A lot of them stuck around for, you know, a couple of years, most of them 3 to almost 4 years before moving on.
Right.
But I think it always came down to just the hardships of money, you know, and not being able
right.
to make enough within the band to sustain the livelihood, you know.
Right. I feel you.
Yeah.
So is that
yeah,
the ultimate goal? What was that?
I'm homeless, so it doesn't matter, so I can just keep staying.
Funny. So this is the thing, like, you guys, didn't you two form the band, or how did iShine come together? I know that, you know, it's kind of a long story, but we can have the short version.
Yeah,
quickly.
Well, I can start off. I like I said, I, like, decided to teach myself the guitar, and I started to play, and I had, like, after Power Rangers, again, it was like a couple years I just kind of went through this depression where I was just like, man, what am I going to do? You know, I'm out here, and, like, I had a lot of issues of, like, you know, how can I go back home, you know, now? You know, I'm going to be a complete failure, you know? And so I was dealing with all this stuff, and as I was teaching myself to play the guitar, and as I was, like, singing and just making up songs, it really kind of, like, brought me out of that, you know, and I was able to, like, create something, you know, and I, in the back of my head, I just thought, you know, if I can form a band and we can create music that would kind of motivate people or move people, you know, to kind of do the same or get through the same stuff that I got through, then I would feel like I'm giving back in some way, you know, and so I decided, hey, I'm going to just try to form a band. And so all I did was just start going around to the different places and people that I knew. And at the time, I was going to a church with a bunch of friends, and I had them join the band. People laughed in my face. People told me I shouldn't do it and that I should give up and that I could never be a rock star. And then Maurice came along. I was like, hey, you know, because the guys were leaving because they couldn't do it. And so I forced Maurice basically to buy drums from my old drummer, and he did. And he just started, you know, Maurice kind of was following me around because we would shoot a lot of videos and stuff like that. And then we just kind of formed in a band and just kept going from there, really.
Right. Wow.
Yeah.
So after all of, I know that you went through this. I mean, it's obvious that you guys honed your craft. Is the ultimate goal to get signed, or is it to stay independent and kind of do, you know, continue to do your own music?
Well,
it'd be great. I mean, if some label had an awesome deal, obviously we'd take it. But
right.
I mean, we've turned down development deals, and basically people giving us contracts, which they just take 15% of what we're doing, which is retarded.
Right.
But yeah, I guess the goal would be to get our name out there.
Could say, like, our dream has always been to get signed, right? You know, I mean, that is the dream if you're a band. And it was our dream for the longest time. And it's not that it's not our dream anymore, but it's like the way the industry is now, it's so far-fetched.
Mm-hmm.
No, and it's just not something that looks like would even happen, you know. And you really have to be a success on your own. You have to be you have to make millions on your own for them to kind of really consider you
or think
you're worth
anything.
Yeah. Yeah. You know,
well,
so,
it's crazy because the industry has changed to the point where you're almost better off on your own. Like, you could probably make more money.
Absolutely. You know, we've known people that took deals like for $10,000, and it's like a 4-album deal, and it's like you're never going to get any money back, you know, because they own it all. You know, they own everything, merchandise and all that stuff, you know. And
for
$10,000? It's pretty ridiculous.
And that's
a band of like 4 or 5 members, so they're not making any money, you know, for years. And so it was just kind of ridiculous. And like Marie said, we had development deals, but again, it was like, We got those offers like around the time we were about to release our Tone of Echoes album and My Paper Kingdom album. And both times they had told us to hold off on those releases. Don't release those songs yet because we want to be able to prove the songs or whatever. And we were like, what? You're going to like step in? We don't even know you guys, and you're going to start telling us how and what we should play. You know, they're telling us we don't look right or whatever. And it's like, this doesn't make any sense. You know, it's not about the music anymore. And so it didn't feel right, and so we just went ahead and we were like, no thanks, you know. So at this point, it's, like Marie said, it's not that we wouldn't turn it down. It's just got to be an offer that makes sense.
Right. Makes sense to me. At least you guys are savvy. I know, like, tons and tons of fans, they've hit us up. I've got to ask the question, who's single? I know your situations, but they don't. Who's single, who's not?
Now we're
talking. I think I do.
Polo is single.
And ready to mingle?
Ready to mingle.
Well, wait,
he's
got to
get his visa first.
He's got to get his visa first. I know some girls who will marry him.
Yeah, he's,
go
he's,
on
looking,
and marry.
He's looking for a wife.
A wife so he can stay
marry
in America.
Him for a green card. Right.
Do you like blondes
you
with big breasts?
Yeah, do you like blondes and big breasts? It used to be former child stars on All That. And like their app signed. Because we got one of those on the show. You may
Japanese.
Have to put on spandex. Right.
And fruit roll-ups.
Okay. Right, exactly. You may have to put on spandex and fruit roll-ups, but that's a whole other show. Okay, so if Polo is single, ready to mingle, that means you two are?
Hey,
Johnny?
Not.
Not single?
Not
you
single.
Are not single. And Maurice, you are not single, not mingling.
Not single.
Okay, but would you still sign a bitch's ass? That's what we need to know.
Would you sign a girl's ass?
Well, are you talking like bare butt? Because
let's say she had on some panties, but her cheek was hanging out.
That's weird.
It may or may not have happened at Morphicon.
Right. That may or may not have happened to one of our crew. It wasn't me at Morphicon. I'm just saying. So, okay.
I typically don't sign body parts. So.
You saw it? Did you see it, Moses?
I saw, who did I see? I saw someone doing it.
Oh, we can't say the name.
Yeah, someone did it.
Allegedly.
Not in the band.
A ranger stranger. Yeah, a ranger allegedly signed Katrina Johnson's ass. We do have pictures to prove it, but we'll never post them.
Okay.
just for our own
Well, no, that's not true. If we ever get this show off the ground, we need a little extra dough. I'm throwing y'all bitches under the bus, okay? I'm calling Tyrus. I'm getting paid.
That's why we had a divorce just a few weeks ago. I don't know if you guys know this, but we had a divorce, and in the divorce, we lost a host. We lost our website. And what else did we lose?
A lot of money.
We lost our Facebook page. Right, yeah, we did lose some money. But we're good. Okay, so back to you guys. You don't want to hear about our messy divorce. Okay, so we've got one single to mingle, two taken. Now, we have been auditioning, so to speak. We're obsessed with the host that we lost, you know. We used to nickname him Donkey because there was a certain body part of his that resembled a donkey. And we're having auditions. And so every male that comes on the show, we have to ask them this question. It's what we call the quarter test. If, by chance, you had some quarters, how many quarters do you think your donkey might be?
Wow.
Ready to go.
If you thought that's bad, wait till the next question.
Jeez. Aren't kids listening in right now? Actually, I Facebooked somebody who was like 15 years old, and I was like, hey, you guys want to join in on a radio conversation?
Right.
Hey, come on.
This is for mature audiences only, so come at your own risk.
My goodness.
So we're assuming, what, like 5, 7, 8, 9 quarters? I don't know.
I don't know.
We're going to let you guys assume whatever you want to assume.
Okay, so Maurice, do you know quarter test?
Well, I have to cash in like $20 to get enough.
Wow. So are you saying you're working with like $2?
Oh, yeah, I need some dimes, actually. I don't know if it'll just work.
Okay, got it. Oh, my gosh. So, Paolo, do you even want to attempt this horrible question?
Yeah. Paolo, single, he needs to.
Represent.
And this question might determine how fast we can get you a wife.
That's true.
No answer. Okay.
Someone put 8 quarters and 2 cents on this thing here. What is that?
8 pennies. It's great. Okay, so also I know what Jeffrey is going to ask next, and I will forewarn you. He has started vicious rumors on the show. One of the rumors, Johnny, is that the reason that my character got kicked off the show was because Jason Frank and I had an affair. I got knocked up and had an illegitimate child named Blake Foster.
So that is true. Thank you. Magically a year later the kid was like 13. You know, it just happens in Hollywood. They come out toddlers.
Well, it was a power coin.
Yeah.
Power coin.
It was a superhero baby. Okay, Jeffrey, ask your stupid question.
It's not stupid. So, Johnny, I just have to say, you know, for a while we've been trying to get you on the show. And you just, you know, you weren't here. And it just made me think maybe there was something in the past between you and Karen that was a little awkward. So I have insisted that maybe y'all have knocked boots and she just don't want to tell us. That there was a little loving going on behind the scenes with those morphers.
Knocking of no boots.
No,
oh, I'm sorry, y'all were knocking power coins.
Oh, God.
No, it's quarters. Quarters.
Quarters.
If she's got quarters, we've got bigger problems than I thought with
the
show.
Oh, man. Yeah, we do. Oh, God. That, yeah, no. I can say maybe the illegitimate Blake Foster child, but no knocking of the boots with Johnny Carson.
That's
no,
right.
No, that's a joke, too. That's a joke, too.
Now, Karen is, like, realistically, she was more like my sister, you know, the entire time. She was always there for me, and for some reason, I always needed help because I was stupid. Tim Grace was her manager, and he was just awesome and was always there to help out, you know, and that kind of helped, too, because, like, I was there by myself, you know, and it seemed like she always kind of, knew more even about just the industry in itself, you know, and I was just dumb, you know. I had like Taco Bell and Subway, so I had no idea, you know. So it was always nice to have Karen and Tim around, you know.
Yeah. No, that's true.
Okay.
Honestly, I can say this. Johnny was like my best friend on the show because both of us were kind of like in the same boat. Like even though I had been kind of in the industry already, I was away from my family. I was homesick. So it was like we really didn't have friends. Like we were just kind of like we'd go to work, we'd work a million hours, and then we'd come home. And so then I'd be like, Johnny, you want to go to Target? You want to go to the store? Like we just didn't have anything to do. So we became really good friends and hung out all the time. So
the story is you only did oral. Okay, I got that one.
Oh, no. We won't even start that rumor. He was like a brother to me, and that is the story.
So if you two were like brother and sister, who did you hate? Everybody's got to hate somebody in the cast.
Did you hate anybody? You know, I don't think I ever really hated anyone. I mean, there's occasion. Yeah. Occasionally, you know, I didn't get along with everyone, you know, but I think I didn't get along with some of the guys upstairs, you know, rather than Pat, because we were all in the same, but we were all getting screwed, you know, and we knew by who. So that I think we were united in who we didn't really like, I think.
Yeah, I think we were too preoccupied with hating them. We loved each other. Right.
Yeah.
So, going back to your music, like, I know a lot of the fans, they have always wanted to know, like, or at least they always ask, like, who are your favorite artists? Who are your favorite bands that have influenced you?
That's really a good question, you know, because we get asked that all the time, and I never really have an answer. I mean, I like all kinds of music, you know, and I like the Beatles, I like Oasis, Foo Fighters, Nirvana, I like pretty much everything. But I grew up more listening to stuff my sister was listening to, or my mom, or my dad. I never really had my own, like, hey, I'm into this kind of music, you know? Because I think in that time where I would have, like, been into music stuff, we were working on the show, you know? And for me, that I'd say, much more immature than a normal person. You know, I really didn't listen to any music, you know, aside from what my parents would listen to, you know. All I did was I played soccer, I played sports, and I did martial arts, you know, when I was younger. And then I was on Power Rangers, you know, and it wasn't until, like, after, like, I had nothing and was like, I'm going to teach myself the guitar. That's when I really started to think about music, but it wasn't like, it wasn't really a band that I was like, oh, this band, you know, I want to be like them. It wasn't like that. I enjoy all music, really.
Right.
It's just really just a, you know, any song that really has a message or moves me in a way, you know?
Right. Totally. So when you mentioned writing songs, so what kind of things inspire you when you write a song? Because, I mean, it's one thing to play in a band, but it's a whole other thing. You guys are songwriters, all of you, correct?
Yeah, we all.
Yeah, good.
We all definitely have written and contribute to the songwriting. Earlier on, I basically did all of it because I just did, you know. But now it's like, you know, I guess it's all around, really. I recorded, like, a few months ago, I recorded about 11 songs. And then I had Polo come in and just said, all right, make some stuff up. And so we just spent a couple hours, and he came up with all his parts, you know. And then I basically just made up Maurice's parts, and then he's going to go through it and do his own thing. But it's just for emotion and feeling. I need to put that stuff in there. But yeah, we all just kind of contribute now.
Right. Very cool. Very cool. So I think we should probably take some callers, because I know the phone lines are going ringing off the hook. Can we take a caller, Jeff?
Absolutely. Batty crazy. I know
right.
We've got our good friend from the UK. I hope this is him. Otherwise, I'm an asshole. Joe, is that you?
Yeah.
Are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. Hello.
Hello.
Joe, you're on the phone with Johnny Bosch and iShine. Oh, my God, this is amazing. He's got two challenges now. first of all, before I ask my question to the lovely Johnny, thank you, Karen, for the autographed picture. I did get it for my birthday. It was wonderful. Thank you.
Oh, you are so welcome, my love. Anytime.
Okay. Johnny, my question for you. I did ask Karen this same question, but I'm going to ask it to you as well. What was your favorite Power Rangers episode that you filmed, and why?
Favorite episode? Gosh. I don't know the names of them all. There's one called Game of Honor that I had a lot of fun on, just because I got to do some flips and kicks and stuff in it. I'm Dreaming of a White Ranger was kind of fun as well, but that's just because I like Christmas. The Wild West. Okay, that's it. Wild West.
That was the best.
Whatever.
That had to be my favorite, I think.
Yes. That's my favorite. Oh, my God, that's my favorite, too.
I remember from the episode that you said, Johnny, was, that almost was messed up my boots. Uh-oh.
Yeah, it was fun, man. And I remember we were looking at the script, and it was like, you know, I was more in that, like, it was around then when I was like, I mean, not saying that I didn't care, but like I was like, let's just have fun. And we all just started doing accents and stuff. And it was a good time. I enjoyed that. And that was actually the first time and only time that we ever got a letter from Saban saying we did a good job.
That's true. We did. I remember that. Oh, my gosh. I totally forgot. Yeah. They loved that episode. Thank you so much, Joe, for calling us all the way from England.
I don't even understand.
We
weren't even from Angel Grove. How the hell are you going to this bullshit?
You know that Power Rangers makes no sense. It was cute and cuddly. Stop being so logical.
There wasn't nothing cute and cuddly about it.
Okay, let's take another caller.
You got Christina. She's got a question for iShine.
Hi, how are you guys?
Hi there.
Hello.
Hi, my name's Christina, and with me is Karina, my sister. We have a question for all of you, actually. Yeah. Would you like to say your question?
Somebody.
Okay. Well, we just wanted to know which song from the latest album do you think you like the most or fits your personalities the most?
Okay, that's a good question.
That is a good question. Maurice, you go first.
you can think about it.
Yeah, I would say, for all of us, probably has our time run out, because, I don't know.
Well, that's a great answer.
Has our time run up? Okay, Johnny, do you feel like that? Kind of is the mood of the band right now?
Yeah, I guess when I came up with the lyrics for it, yeah, it kind of hit home, and I was like, you know, it does feel like, I mean, we're getting older, and it's like we've been at this for a while, and it's just hard. And sometimes you can't help but think that, you know, it would be easier to give up, you know, and then you wonder if, like, man, what's the point, you know? And so that, just that, like, you have that thought, and so I had to kind of write with that, I guess, in mind. But
right.
but I also wrote Kingdoms Come and Castles Fall, because it's like, you know, things come and go, you know, and there's always still hope, you know.
Right. I believe in that. Wow. Okay. So thank you, ladies, for calling in. Double Trouble.
Thanks, guys.
All right. We've got Brianna.
Yeah.
Hello.
Hello. Brie, my favorite. Is this my favorite, Brie?
Hello.
My question is for those fans, either with music or with Power Rangers, that have the issue of memorizing, what would you suggest to help them with that process?
Good question, Bree.
That is a great question.
Repetition for me. I mean, I forget lyrics all the time, so... And I look at Johnny when I do something wrong.
Yeah, you just need me to look at you. It was like, dude, what's wrong with you? I think repetition really does help in memorizing, you know, lyrics or anything like that. The more you do it, you know, it, like now, it's like we can go through our set list and we don't really think about it as much because we just know what's coming up, you know. And so when you do it enough, you know. You get used to it. And I think you kind of have, it's weird though, because like you'll go through, now this is like as an actor, you don't, if you do too much repetition, it can become old and boring. So you still have to keep it fresh. But if you do things over and over, you'll figure things out better, I think.
Yeah. Yeah. You know what always helped me, Brie, is that I have good short-term memory. I don't have good long-term memory. So I kind of like one of those crammers. But I would turn my script into a song. Like, I would be like, I'd make it into a song so I could remember it. So thank you, Brie. We love you. You know,
wow.
You're our favorite listener. One of them. One of our favorite listeners. I don't want to piss off the chat room. They will cut me. Okay, so who else? I know there's more people because they were, like, hitting me up all day on Facebook wanting to talk to Johnny Bosch.
We've got Christy.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi.
Hello.
Hi, guys. My question
Christy
is
Bolton?
For...
Christy
Bolton? Yes.
Hey.
You guys remember me.
Hey, what's up? Yeah, you're one of our U.S. street presidents. Cool, go on.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Wow.
First of all, I want to say you guys rock. I love you guys.
Yeah, thank you.
My question was, how was your experience this year on Gimme the Gig 2, and how did it differ from last year?
Well, it was... Okay.
Like, your sound effects are hilarious.
Last year we auditioned, or not auditioned, but we competed for Gimme the Gig and we lost, and this year we won, you know. And I think if we're talking about the moment of being there and doing it, it was totally awesome. Yeah, great experience.
Yeah.
We got the
I was so proud
John
of you guys
was.
That you won.
What was that?
Thank you.
I was so proud of you guys that you won.
Oh, thank you so much. You have no idea how much it means to us to hear everybody really excited that we actually won, because it feels like, you know, we're all part of a team, you know, and it's like we're going out there, but you guys are there always supporting us.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Well, congratulations, first of all. And thank you, Missy, for calling in. We really appreciate your question.
Good.
Hey, wait, real quick, is Polo alive? Polo, you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Wait, that sounded like an English speaking guy.
Yeah, that's an English guy. What? Polo.
You alive, Polo?
I think Polo was asleep.
All right, I think Polo's gone.
I think he's out.
Not... Yeah, all right.
He's in Japan.
That's all right. He's probably out looking for his wife. We didn't drive fast enough.
Strikes again.
Right. You know, damn it, if Katrina would have been on the show tonight, we could have helped him out. All right.
Oh, goodness.
I know, right? So, do we have anybody else? Do we have another caller?
Oh, we have tons. We have Telco.
Okay.
Hello?
Telco.
Yeah, I'm here.
Hey, Johnny.
Hey,
you're on the phone with Eyeshine and Johnny Bosch.
Hey, Johnny. You remember me from Anime Iowa? You signed my sister's birthday present, the Sailor Moon wallet.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, she loves it.
I hope so. That would stink if you're like, she hates it. She hates it.
It was a unique gift, something that I knew she'd love. And she uses
awesome.
It every day right now. And second off, I want to say, hey, Maurice,
yes.
Do you have any memories of Anime Zing 2011?
2011?
Yeah.
I can't remember yesterday.
Yeah. It was fun.
Remember kick him in the shins and that whole bust out laughing in the dealer room?
Gio was there.
Thanks, man.
He's one of our number ones. He always is a just like a true listener to Unscripted Radio, and I know he's a true Eyeshine listener. So thank you, Toku.
All right, we've got Michael Char. Oh wait, no, ooh, it jumped. Oh shit. Please hold.
Technical difficulties.
Hello?
I miss our divorced person.
No,
Michael
you don't.
Char. Yeah, I know.
Lord,
I really
Baltimore.
Know. I hope he rots in hell.
Exactly.
It's chlamydia. Michael Charles.
Moving on.
Are you there?
Michael.
Hello?
Hi.
Hi. Hey there. I have a question for Johnny.
Okay.
Yeah, what's up? I've been a big fan since I started watching Power Rangers. I don't know how old I was that time. I just forgot.
Okay.
I tend to forget a lot. What's your funniest moment that ever happened during filming
or just in it? Okay. Funniest moment. I'm trying to think of something funny.
I know something funny that happened that you really laughed like a lot. Like, you were on
really?
The ground
okay.
crying.
What?
When we were shooting the movie and somebody tried to run up a tree and you were supposed to spot them.
Oh, well, yeah. It was a funny moment.
Well, maybe I was laughing. You may not have been laughing, but I thought it was hilarious.
Well, I want to know who is dumb enough to run up a tree.
Now, well, me and Jason were flipping off of a tree and we were spotting each other. And, yeah, and he wanted to run up like as he was running, instead of doing he would do three steps and I would just jump off of it, you know. And so I was expecting him to do three steps, but as he was running, he's like, "I'm gonna keep running." I'm like, "What?" And he just kept running. He did like five or six steps, and I couldn't reach him, you know, because I'm smaller than a regular white person. And he cut his face a little bit, and it was kind of funny. But,
he cut his face a lot of it, to the point where his double had to, stand in for him for, a week.
It was your accident. Just happened.
First week of filming. So, do you have something that you remember that was really funny?
There were so many different things that happened.
Yeah.
I all I can think about right now is, the movie. And when we were driving to set, I don't know, I remember if you were in the van when they were driving us, and then I decided to climb out onto the top of the van. Were you there?
I was. And Harriet got
yeah.
so nervous and so mad at you.
Yeah. And then Jason rolled up the window and wouldn't let me back in.
Oh.
he's
a son of a bitch.
Yeah, and he was swerving the car.
Jason, like, if you try to prank him, he tried to prank you harder. So it was like, you just have to be like, whatever, dude. Him and Johnny, they were, like, just constantly just playing around. Thank you so much for calling in. That was a great question, Michael.
Thank you.
No problem.
We've got another question for iShine, and it's from Eric.
What's up, Eric?
Sup?
What's
my question for y'all is,
Hello?
Yeah.
Hello?
Eric?
Okay. My question is, after you lost your bass player, how long do you actually think it'll be till you find a replacement? I love your music so much, and
I
just can't stand you stopping because all your music really hits home with me.
We're not going to stop. Don't worry. Yeah, we're not going to stop. In fact, we've just finished recording instruments for a new album. Polo, he's not on the line right now, but he's probably home mixing. Yeah, we're not going to stop, and we do have, we have someone now that's our main potential of becoming our bassist. We've had guys filling in for a little bit from a service interruption, but we do have somebody that's potentially going to be our bassist, so it'll be really soon.
Yay! See? Good news. Only good news on Unscripted Radio. Thank you for calling.
I was waiting for that kid to ask to be a part of the band. I heard some other blog talk show you were on a couple months ago, and I was
I
they were like, can I be in your band? Can I audition? And you're like, well. Great.
Right. I thought it was going that way, too. So. Who else do we have? We're going to try to get in as many as possible. We only have a few minutes, so when you call in, guys, please ask your question quick because we've got about 3 more minutes with them, and they've got to go and finish mixing this album.
All right, we've got Omar.
Johnny.
What's up, Omar? Hey,
what's up? Actually, this is a question for you, Johnny, and Karen.
Okay.
I'm an actor, and one of my favorite shows growing up, and the reason why I want to become an actor is Power Rangers. And I know things are a little bit different when it comes to auditioning, that when you guys audition from now. So my question for you guys is, what would be your biggest advice for actually auditioning for Power Rangers?
For Power Rangers specifically or just auditioning?
Well, both.
Okay. You want to say it first, Johnny?
I don't know if I have a good answer. I mean, I would first say that, first, thank you for, I'm glad that you enjoyed the show, and I'm glad that you have a passion to act. And I think the one thing you shouldn't do is focus only on becoming a Power Ranger, you know, because then you're really limiting yourself as an actor.
Right.
And when you get on, if you were to get on the show, it's not like you're going to be doing any really deep acting, you know. It is a kid's show, and so after a while, you're going to feel like, boy, I'm not acting. I would just say, don't limit yourself, you know, and really just kind of get out there and do as many auditions as you can, you know, like try to just book as many auditions as possible, because so that you get used to the auditioning process and people being mean and people rejecting you, you know, you got to get through all that kind of stuff, you know, I would just say get out there and just start doing it.
Right. And what I would add to that, because he's absolutely right, is that you got to just go out there and just be confident in who you are. And the reality is you're going to get more no's than you are going to get yeses. But that day that Johnny and I showed up to the audition, I mean, there were thousands of people at this audition. And no one would have ever, I would have never thought it would have been me. And when we did show up for our callback, there were there was every single race there. So they didn't know what they wanted. But whatever it is that we had when we walked in that room, that is what worked. So always know that, you know, it's kind of like Johnny said earlier, if it's meant for you, it's going to happen, you know, and he's been blessed enough to have some amazing opportunities in his career, and he didn't bet on them, but it was his destiny, and he was ready when that opportunity came. So just be ready for the opportunity. Whatever acting gig it is, go for it all and just be confident.
You guys
make
are
sure
just
you
get paid.
So I guess we only really have time for one more question, because I know these guys have busy schedules.
But, you know, we have to make, before we take that last question,
yes.
We have to make our very quickly our next exciting Power Ranger announcement,
yes.
That kind of has a tie to Johnny.
I know. Okay, so guys, we have a huge announcement on Tuesday of next week. Miss Nakia Barise is going to be on the show. Woohoo! We've got Nakia, and then we may have another surprise next week. We haven't got confirmation, but it's like a Power Ranger a week. What can we say? We're delivering. We told you guys, MorphaCon is going to be awesome. and yeah, we're going to take this last question, but before we even get to it, guys, I'm so proud of all of you. I've known you, Johnny, since the first day I remember seeing you at the audition, and you've always been a beautiful and wonderful person, wonderful friend. I'm so happy that your life is going so amazing. And Maurice, you are my honey bunny. I love you to death, and I wish you both the biggest success. So let's take
Thank
that last
so
question.
Much.
You're welcome.
We've got Miss LaShawna Brooks.
Hey guys. Hi, Johnny.
Final question.
How's it going?
Yeah, I remember Johnny from Otakon back in 2003, so that's why I know I know him so well. My first question to Johnny, who is your favorite singer that inspires you to sing?
There isn't like one singer that inspires me to sing or be a singer. Again, I just kind of started singing out of necessity. I didn't even know how to sing when I first started. And I remember when I wrote, like, one of the first songs that I thought was good, and I played it for my dad and my sister when they were visiting, I could see their smiles fading, you know, and I could tell that it wasn't good. I like all kinds of music. I really do. And I just like anybody who can sing, and you can just feel their passion. You can just connect with whatever they're singing about. You just know it, you know. So no one in particular, just in general, just like anyone who's got, you know, passion behind the music.
Yeah, like Justin Bieber, you know.
Yeah, like Justin Bieber.
baby, oh, I'm going to be the next hit single.
I can feel the passion behind those blue eyes.
Oh, my God.
On that note, I love you guys. Thank you so much for being on Instagram Radio. Where can they find you? Where can they buy your album? Tell them.
Oh, yes.
You can get our stuff on iTunes or Amazon or Rhapsody or at iShine.net. You can check out our documentary series about us and all the baloney that we go through on YouTube.
The link is up in the chat room for iShine.net. Thank you, Melanie.
Yeah, and YouTube.com/TheiShineBand. And then we're on Facebook as well, iShine Music. So please check us out, and we'll be around.
Yeah. And if you know, I've got people texting me saying they'll be your bassist. So if it falls through, Daniel Cooney wants to throw his name out in the hat. Shout out to him. Thank you, guys.
All right.
Thank you for listening. And take a little time to enjoy the radio, or at least be offended by it. Good night, everybody.
Thank you to all the callers that called. There were so many. Johnny and the iShine fan are so popular.
We have to get
you
back on,
all of
Johnny.
You.
Yeah, sorry, guys. We'll get him back on, we promise.
I know, this cleaning room has been busy.
Good night.
No, poor James. We're paying him like Saban paid you all.
Right? I know, it's awesome.
James, we love you, baby. Quarters. We love you, James. Quarters. We got a pack of quarters for you, James.
Yeah, James, how many quarters
oh
are you?
Oh, my God.
Ooh.
totally not answering that question.
Topher did. He said seven.
Topher answered it.
It's Topher. I'm not answering that question. My manhood is 11.
Oh my God, Kat's gonna be mad.
Seven?
We didn't ask him how she can get a ranger. Oh, next time I'll tweet him.
Good night,
everybody.
Kill us.